Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries, South Korea, 2006. A mysterious creature is sighted by hundreds along the Han River. Many are killed to sate its insatiable hunger. It has not been seen since. In the aftermath, a mysterious virus spreads, putting thousands into quarantine and partitioning off the city. Links to the U.S. military have been speculated upon, but not confirmed. The virus, believed to be brought on by the mysterious creature, leaves victims with fevers, red blisters, and sometimes delusions. Most famous of the victims is one Park Gong-doo, seen here scratching his balls at the memorial ceremony, who is afflicted with the virus, entered into quarantine zone, and has not been seen since. He and his family are now wanted by the authorities. What cover-up is happening and by whom? How much does the military know? What is the location of the mysterious creature, and what of Park? Is he, along with his family, still alive, or have they been found? Perhaps you will be the one to solve this question and others on Unsolved Mysteries.
Sci-Fi Malady, Symptom 116. Next stop, the host. Who are you, and where is Mark?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because I want to start this off.
Did you get hit in the head? Have you suffered head trauma? Were you in a car accident?
That's the questions for the main character.
This is not my fault, okay?
Were you hit with a flash of light on the road to Damascus?
It's not my fault. These were really... These came highly suggested. Sickies, anybody who would look at a list of good sci-fi from other countries will come up with this on their list. In fact, I remember seeing a list about it years ago saying it was a good film. So it's not my fault. How was I supposed to know it would wind up being a meh kind of movie?
And that is the best thing. Last week, we had terrible science with an idiotic premise, no plot, plots dependent on contrivances, machine guns getting fired at the surface of Jupiter, machine guns firing an exit out of a cave. Bad CGI, over-reliance on CGI, and this week we get bad science, bad acting,
bad CGI,
weak to no plot.
Where'd you get the science from?
And it's a Cloverfield monster. The bad science?
Where, yeah.
Agent Yellow is a chemical that kills all biological, it's the counter for all biological weapons.
Yeah.
Also, that is a fantastic thing to have.
Also, somehow pouring chemicals into a river causes mutation?
Formaldehyde, nonetheless.
Yeah. Oh,
by the way, Cloverfield came out in 2008. I didn't want anybody to get the idea that someone had to copy off J.J. Abrams.
What I'm saying is, you usually hate a Cloverfield monster type of movie.
But no, okay, hang on now.
I want to see how he defends this.
Cloverfield type. You mean the mysterious type? Because I love kaiju movies. And I thought Pacific Rim was a neat idea. At least the first one was good. The second one was, wow, what happened? But this is, you know, and that's the thing. The first time I saw this was on a list of, it was supposed to be scary sci-fi movies or scary movies or something like that. And this came up as, oh, this is a really good movie for...
Scary?
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder. Really wonder.
What list did you get this from? Because I don't want...
It was years ago.
I don't want to watch any more movies off that list. I'm sorry.
I'm starting to wonder, really, if some of these movies get a positive review just because that's not Hollywood and they're trying to support something else. Because to me, it's a case of, this movie's not bad. But it's not magnificent like they make it sound.
Here's the top 10 list for best films of 2007 that this film has made. LA Weekly, Ella Taylor. New York Post, V.A. Musetto. Slate, Dana Stevens. The Oregonian, fifth, Mark Mohan. The Oregonian, fifth, Mike Russell. The Washington Post, seventh, Dessen Thompson. The Boston Globe, ninth, Wesley Morris.
I don't ever need to
read any reviews from any of you guys ever again.
I was going to say those are the names of the newspapers that gave us a top, put this in their top 10
for 2007.
Aha, uh-huh, I see.
This okay. film, The Host, Korean film from 2006. This film in the 2006 Korean Film Awards won Best Film, Best Director, Best Cinematography, Best Visual Effects, Best Sound, nominated for Best Supporting Actress, nomination for Best Art Direction, nomination for Best Music. 2006 Director's Cut Award won a Best Performers Award for the Ensemble Cast. In the 2007 Asian Film Awards, it won Best Film, Best Actor, Best Cinematography, Best Visual Effects, and nominated for Best Editing. 2007 Hong Kong Films Award was nominated for the Best Asian Film. It won Best Film at another one. It was nominated for Best International Film with the 2007 Saturn Awards. What? At the Grand Bell Awards, it won Best Director, Best Editing, and nominated for Best Film, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Cinematography, Best Visual Effects, Best Sound.
I'm going to go
okay, I'm
guess.
Just...
What was this up to. Against?
Yes!
Hans Moleman, man getting hit by football?
I have to wonder, because really... Okay, Sickies, we're in Korea, obviously, along with our vacation, but what was it up against is a good question, because when you watch this...
So... It's not an amazing film.
Maybe. Okay. I've seen it listed as part comedy. And the whole time, there's only one part that makes you a little chuckle. And that's the part where he's scratching his balls in a memorial ceremony. But here's the thing. I'm thinking that this is a case where a lot of the jokes couldn't land with a Western audience. Because there's just things that like the scene where their whole family's wigging out and crying and screaming about the death of the daughter. And it's, they're taking pictures of it. It's supposed to be, I'm gathering that it's supposed to be a satire of Korean news and how photographers are and culture, but it doesn't really land because to an American, it's like, what are they doing? I mean, what is
the entire
this?
Movie was, what are they doing? It literally starts with the main character sleeping.
That's true. Like, I mean, it's just he's sleeping there and then he goes out. It's just...
Well, we got to establish immediately that this guy is lazy and a loser and not firing on all cylinders.
He gives his daughter a beer.
She's almost an adult. She's like, what, 12?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Also, I'm not sure if he's firing on any cylinders. He is dumb.
So I can give a very, very... If permission requested.
Yeah, let's do a recap.
Plot. I can recap this quick. Okay. Idiot in some U.S. military base, idiot old man gets mad that bottles of formaldehyde have dust on them, orders his subordinate to pour them down the drain because nothing. And this has got to be at least 100 bottles of formaldehyde because they are dusty. So somehow formaldehyde in the Han River creates giant monster. Don't know how. Don't ask. That's the sci-fi part of it, I guess. And then you're introduced to Park, who's an idiot working at a food stand with his dad, and his little girl comes home, and that day he goes out to give some food to some people, and there's this monster hanging off a bridge. It drops in the river. And this is actually the best scene where the monster comes out of the river and chases people. For me, that was the best scene. I don't know why, but that I liked watching it run down that side of the river and all. And
it is the best scene because after that, there's no tension left in the movie.
No.
Yeah.
So, and it eats some people and it takes Park's daughter. And then everybody's rounded up by the military and it's told they have some kind of virus. Park gets out with his family. They pay for some guns and other equipment to go look for his daughter because she calls him on her phone to say, I'm here, daddy, and in the sewers. But then the phone cuts off. And the city's quarantined, so they have to sneak through quarantine, but they get caught. And then the daughter figures out how to hide from the monster because the monster's bringing people back to its lair to eat later. And let's see, I'm skipping a lot because it's just forgettable.
Yeah.
Then Park is... they're all quarantined. Then they all escape, break up. Park is being held by the authorities while the other two kids, who one is an Olympic archer, medalist archer. And the other one's just a political activist drunk, the uncle. And they're looking for the girl. And he has an old friend that lets them triangulate the phone call, and there's a bounty on the family, and let's see. Park gets a lobotomy. You find out that there is no actual virus. It was just made up by the government so they can scare everybody out of the way. So the government then can make Agent Yellow a chemical to kill the monster. Lots of protests against it. The monster, the uncle and the sister with the archer go into the sewers looking for the daughter. The daughter escapes. And they make some Molotov cocktails, throw it at the monster. Agent Yellow is used. It slows the monster down.
Monster dies.
They a homeless guy helps them with the pouring gas on it. They set it on fire, and then between the Agent Yellow, the fire, and a giant aluminum rod that gets impaled into its mouth, it dies.
The little girl, the daughter, dies.
She ultimately dies.
Oh, That's a big surprise. Yeah, I will give them credit for having the guts to go to with that ending.
Yeah, then
he adopts the little boy that she saved.
He adopts a homeless boy that she saved, and it ends with him in the food stand, looking over the river and listening to a U.S. Senate briefing on the whole issue. That's it. I missed a lot of details, but you got the gist of it. Go watch the movie. It's free on YouTube if you want.
So, don't watch the movie.
I would not recommend it.
But
you're losing hours.
That's a fantastic way to start this review. But let's change this up a bit. I'm going to go ahead and we'll cue the Scott deep meaning in the early segment.
Oh, there is some deep meaning.
There are really some attempts in this movie, and this is why it's going to get more credit than last week's movie.
Well, this one also, you're right. There's definitely meanings. It's my only issue with it is it's not subtle at all.
The first thing you get is absolutely an ecological meaning of pouring it in the Han River, and who cares? And we pollute the Han River. We pollute the Han River. I need to dispose of this formaldehyde.
Well, and it's funny because I guess the U.S. military did pour a bunch of formaldehyde in the river in Korea, and that's where they got this from. This was really a jab at the U.S. military. The director actually said that this movie isn't so much, he said it's a stretch to call it anti-American, but there certainly is a criticism of the U.S. military's presence in South Korea. Not saying they should get out, but more like they're acting like that annoying roommate that just showed up and is making a mess.
And then in addition to that, you've got the
Agent Yellow.
Well, let's stick on this one for a moment. So you've got the American ordering the Korean assistant to dump the formaldehyde into the river against his wishes, against the good logic that regulations say that you shouldn't do this. The proper way to handle this is to dispose of it differently. And you have the American saying, just do what I tell you. That's an order. I'm the American. Do it, essentially.
Yeah.
Later on in the movie, when this negligence by America causes an ecological disaster and a monster to literally start killing people, the Americans tell the world that they're going to take unilateral action because of the inability of Korea to control the situation.
Which is interesting because he does make a point that the Korean government is shown to be inept in this movie, inept and clumsy. And that's the whole point, to show that you have what you said about the military, and then the Korean government's almost kind of, it's a jab at both sides, really.
So it's, you know, let's look at the pompous American stepping in to solve the problem that they caused.
Yeah.
And then not doing a good job of solving it.
Yeah.
The military fails. Agent Yellow fails.
It doesn't kill the monster. It slows it
down. That's all it does. It also harms many bystanders in the process.
Yeah.
Also, then you get the point where the Americans are supposed to be, you know, the champions of freedom, abducting Park to do more experiments on him.
Right.
While he's not even properly anesthetized.
Yeah.
While giving him lip service to, your daughter's still alive. Why didn't you go ask someone for help?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to help you, but I mean, someone else should have.
Yeah. Well,
and now we got to go get this fake virus out of your brain.
And that's it. They lied about the virus just to draw attention away from their hunt for the monster.
And then you have that point where Park is looking at the American military saying, why does what I say not matter? And boy, if that is not the on the nose commentary in this movie about why does what the average man say, what the average man wants, what their opinion is, never matter to the government.
Well, I mean,
the government's going to do what it's going to do, forward its agenda.
And Park is certainly the everyman.
Well, whether the average guy wants it or not.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is South Korea. And they have done this multiple times with America in South Korea. I mean, I think recently when we deployed THAAD over there, there was an entire, you know, protests against that.
Well, and it's funny because there is protests in the movie, too. In fact, the protests are supposed to represent kind of like the political history of Korea to Western, well, particularly the U.S. So how it's kind of like ineffective and inept, but they try.
Yeah, I'm not saying at all it's not there, but I'm just saying it's very blatant and telling you exactly what it is. I mean, it's pretty straightforward that, hey, we're kind of pissed off with America for some stuff they keep doing over here and not listening to us.
There's another commentary about money and chasing Western wealth might not be what it appears to be, because the guy who's the supervisor, he's saying you must be making a ton of money.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, salary, you must be making 60 grand or something. He goes, I've got that in my credit cards.
Yeah.
You know, as to say, it's a trap. Chasing that dream might not get you what you think it's going to. Living the standard traditional life might have you better off and happier in the long run.
Yeah. Well, and to just quickly mention, you mentioned Agent Yellow. Agent Yellow is a smack against Agent Orange, which was the defoliant in
Vietnam,
which, yeah, it did have its desired effect, but it also killed a lot more than it should have, including our own soldiers. In fact, a friend of ours had his father had cancer.
Yeah,
and I believe it was because he had Agent Orange dumped on him.
I'm about 80% positive that's correct.
Well, it did what it was supposed to do. It just had a whole lot of unintended consequences and side effects that really did a real nightmare on the human genome.
Right. Ooh. So, and that was kind of that point that, and it was satirical in the fact, what did you say, Scott? You were able to quote about Agent Yellow that it is. Lethal to children, old people,
respiratory, pregnant mothers.
Yeah, respiratory. Anyone with respiratory issue. It was just like, it basically
people
kills.
In general.
People in general.
Yeah, congratulations, great.
Agent Yellow should not be inhaled by anyone.
Yeah. So, and that's Also, what in fact this
Agent Yellow may reanimate corpse just to kill you horrifically. 3 seconds later,
this the criticism of the military was such that North Korea actually praised this movie. I hear I read that North Korea gave it a thumbs up because it was critical of the military.
I hate to say this, if you're getting a thumbs up from North Korea for your film, you might have done something wrong.
Well,
just saying.
I mean, I think he was going. You know. He clearly wasn't going for that.
I understand
because
that,
you don't want to say that a legitimate gripe is no longer valid because some psycho agrees with you.
No, Okay, you're right. I'm not going to go that far, but let me put it this way. Don't put that on your box. That's not the one you want to point out.
Yeah, that's like
thumbs up from North Korea is not your selling point.
That's like saying that, you know, I wouldn't vote for my congressman, but I think he did the right thing here. It's like, well, it's not the same.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you know, it's possible, and I'll give this film some leeway, that it could have been the translation.
I guarantee you it was translation and culture, because at certain points in this film, lines made no sense, and I'm pretty sure if it was translated more accurately, it might make perfect sense. There were just lines where I'm just like,
We saw a dub that probably wasn't the best.
I feel like had you spent more time really hammering home the government and the military versus the people, and the so-called, you know, the uncle says, you know, I've been working with the guys for democratization and they won't even give me a job. Had you spent more time really zeroing in on that us versus them, government versus civilians, the lies of capitalism, and boy, I just lost a whole ton of listeners potentially by saying the lies of capitalism.
Wow.
As a capitalist, let me tell you, there are lies that capitalists tell other capitalists every single day. Had you spent some more time exposing, let's not call it lies, some of the rosier promises that may not come to fruition.
That's, I think, a better way of phrasing it.
Yeah, you know, that is there, because look at the beginning. That millionaire who's standing on a bridge ready to jump off, and his associates run up screaming, "You've been bankrupt before, sir!" So,
I mean, it's a lot of that is there, and it redeems the movie somewhat.
I was about to say, I'm hoping you're not saying all the way.
It no, I don't think he's going to.
Somewhat.
He's not going to give this a good rating. I think pretty much know that.
In a better translation.
It might have worked out better.
And I also think the problem is that.
The voice acting?
The voice acting takes any chance of you identifying with these characters out. You can't ever come to really like the sister.
No.
Not really.
The most likable character is the old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The main character, the girl's father, Han Zhao, I don't remember, so I'm not even gonna try to pronounce it. But the girl's father,
the
Park,
old man or the doofy,
the doofy guy,
Park.
He.
Oh.
You can't ever fully sympathize with him because you can't identify. You don't even. It's crazy to say. The death of the daughter doesn't tug at your heartstrings because you can't identify enough. The character work and the development to invest you in the characters isn't there. There was a chance to make this something really powerful, but you got lost in making a cool monster movie.
Yeah. And also, I'm just going to say, honestly, I feel like the director watched Forrest Gump before he went with this because...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but what was the whole line from Tropic Thunder?
You went full, well, I'm not saying that word, but
yeah.
Don't go full all the way. I was about to say, it's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking, it's like he went somewhere between Simple Jack and Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Again, it might be the translation. It might, but at certain points.
His personality, though, is there. Yeah.
The guy has a lobotomy and you can't tell he had a lobotomy.
Yes.
You know that he. Whenever you're watching a movie from another country, especially if it's dubbed, you're going to lose some detail. You're going to lose some of the cultural significance. And so even though we can understand some of Park's personality, there's a lot of other things that just don't make sense because...
That's what I'm saying. There's a good chance that in the cultural significance, maybe it's not that bad, you know?
There's so much lost, though.
But I'm looking at that character going, I can't... at all, you know, connect with them. It's just like, no.
So there is a hidden meaning, but it's like almost seems to be jammed in with a monster movie. And
yeah. I mean, I would say that it's subtle, but it's not subtle. It's on the nose. It's hitting you in the face with it over and over again. Everyone who has power abuses it. Everyone is chasing money. Everyone is chasing wealth. Damn the consequences. We're after power. We're after wealth. And anyone who gets in our way will be destroyed.
And we made a monster. Yeah. Whoopsie. Well, let's just lie about it, cover it up, and find a way to get rid of that before anyone gets wiser.
Yeah, because, I mean, we made a monster so we could test Agent Yellow. I think that's in there, too. The United States government, I don't think for sure.
It was an accident because the way he just dumped all the...
But did he have him dump it in the river on purpose, hoping to create something to test Agent Yellow?
But there's nothing in there, so now you're just becoming a Star Wars fan theorist.
And right.
If there's anything more annoying than that, it's a Star Wars fan
theorist. Did it get lost in the translation? Did we lose it somewhere? I don't know. It's not proven. I agree. So let's do what we do now, and let's go demolish this thing.
Okay.
I was going to say, just because this is knocking the U.S. military's careless dumping of formaldehyde, a real actual event, this sounds like he was just really trying to smash that.
No, I get that, but...
Not trying to connect it to anything else. Okay, rips and picks, so...
Well,
Rip away!
Oh, boy. Shall we start with just the terrible everything? I mean, I'm sorry, but this monster, it doesn't look half bad.
No, for the time.
For 2006.
I'm not going to say it's a bad-looking monster. But there are points where it doesn't look great. It also looks very weird.
Yeah, I know. 2006. What do you want?
And it was only on an $11 million budget.
Yeah.
For an $11 million budget.
It
looks better than last week's film.
I wouldn't say that, but.
I guess because it wasn't over-reliant on CGI. I'll say it. Last week's film, to me, looked very. I still think last week's film was a good fan flick film. This, to me, looked more like a low-budget actual film.
Well, I will say, compared to last week, I wasn't in the podcast last week, but my opinion with last week's movie was it looked almost, in a way, one of those films like anime mixed with live action.
Kinda, yeah.
And it's just different. This one at least looked real-ish.
Although I liked, there was one character I actually really liked in the in Wandering Earth, and it was the computer dork with the D20. I liked that character. I could relate to that kid. I liked him. Even the grandfather, to a point, I liked. In this movie, there's nothing relatable.
No.
So kudos to the director of Wandering Earth. You found something to land with me. The host is me just sitting there going, I think I'm just lost in the fact that Park is so unbelievably stupid and nonsensical, and nothing makes sense about him, that I'm just sitting here trying to wrap my head around, what was your point in writing this character? I get he's supposed to be the everyman, but he's way too everyman. He's like Simple Jack, and I just can't make sense of it.
He grabs a girl who is not his daughter and doesn't realize that he has not grabbed his daughter until that girl's father takes her away from him.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, let's be honest. His job is to mind the shop or whatever. He's sleeping on the job to start with. People's just taking stuff. And he, stole someone's food? And it's like, they wouldn't notice?
Yeah, well, exactly. He's taking the, they call them legs, but it's tentacles. He's taking the stuff off the squid. Exactly. So you think no one's going to notice that you broke stuff off of their fried squid?
Nope.
You are really, give your daughter a beer. There we go. That's
you
fine.
Gave your 13-year-old daughter, 12-year-old daughter a beer?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're almost an adult, honey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This guy, and maybe that's in Korean, that's really funny. But for us, it's just so unbelievably dumb that we're trying to figure out where were you going with this character?
Yeah.
There's no direction with that character.
I'll be honest, most of the characters, their direction's a little
off. Uncle's just a drunk. That's all I get.
He's a jerk.
Yeah.
He's a drunk jerk until the very last part of the movie, when somehow he decides to get over whatever it is his aunt is his problem.
Yeah, this family has an Avengers Assemble moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you got the sister, I guess, or whatever, that is an Olympic archer.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, she was apparently shooting arrows at the beginning of the film and somehow appeared in Korea. Okay, sure, we'll go with that.
Maybe. Sure. Maybe the competition was in Korea. I don't know. Maybe. They didn't make that clear.
No. But moving on. Okay, you got that. Then you got the business, you know. It's like, okay. What? Also, you suddenly are going to just know people who are giving you guns.
It's that easy to get armed with some guns.
I hope you didn't spend your life savings, on a map with sewer caps, some guns, and is that a raincoat?
Yeah. How terrible is the security at your detention center that you can call ahead to schedule your jailbreak?
Also, don't forget, I'm going to break out of this jail by holding a syringe of blood and say I will spray you. No one decided, hey, idiot, I'm going to shoot you.
Well, remember that.
Also, why would they care? Let the one person die at this point. They already said they don't care.
Remember, he's trying to explain that the South Korean military government, inept. So he's trying to go for the inept.
Well, and they do
running
that.
Into a military quarantine zone where they're about to release a deadly chemical, yelling, "Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Don't shoot!" isn't likely to work.
Also, how about we get into this? You get to a checkpoint to get into the quarantine zone, and the guy's obviously going, bribe me. So how do you bribe him?
Yeah.
Not with dollars. No, you hand over a jar of coins.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
What guy is going to be like, yes.
Wow.
Awesome. Now it's
That'll
great.
Do it.
Let's go to the casino and play the slots.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to be at the slots for shakes the jar. Least an hour.
Yeah.
It lasts me a while at the nickel slots.
Which, by the way, that was the guy's great idea, was to escape and get a better life, was to collect coins.
Oh, no, he was going to buy his daughter a new cell phone with it.
Yep. There's some quarters in there.
Which she even said, is that enough?
Yeah, that's, again, simpleton.
Then again, this is the dad who I think he just doesn't have any concept of reality.
I just
until
when
the end of the movie.
When
I don't
he's
even
captured
think then.
By the United States military, they're like, "Did you give him the right dosage?" Yes, and he's still like that. Yes. Should we give him more? No, let's just start cutting into his brain now.
Yeah.
Why is he throwing a fit? Why is he making a scene? Because you're cutting into his neck and taking a tissue sample while he's awake?
Yeah.
Let's fire up this saw and cut into his head.
Great, I got one. How about the brain surgeon when he's going, "Hey, I'm the brain surgeon. I'm going to cut into your brain." He's cross-eyed.
The lazy-eyed surgeon.
Oh, you don't need any visual acuity to be a surgeon.
Nope.
Funny thing is, he was in the movie Silence of the Lambs.
What, I wasn't. He
was
one
of
the
butterfly guys that was trying to pick up Jodie Foster.
The monster. So this is the most plot convenient monster you're ever going to see.
You're not really interested in this thing.
No,
it goes on a rampage, but then it grabs the girl, and then it doesn't really do much, but it's apparently grabbing one or two other people, but not going on a rampage, just grabbing one or two.
And it's storing food.
Yeah.
Which, okay, it could do that.
It is a really smart monster, a smart land fish dragon thing.
Which is also somehow smart and dumb.
It runs on land and swims. I mean, it's straight out of your nightmares. I mean, it is a Lovecraftian nightmare. I will say that.
It has a tail that it can use. It has a massive mouth with
teeth.
It's smart
enough to store people in the sewers. But the government isn't, again, we're going after the ineptitude. The government isn't smart enough to track this thing in the Han River and figure out its movements.
Yeah, it's apparently putting like sensors in there, sending a sub or a drone. No.
Just watching it?
Yeah.
Just let's watch it. Let's watch where it goes. Let's follow it.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
But somehow
it's the Loch Ness Monster. Yeah. It's Nessie. Yeah. It can avoid all observations except by a drunk guy at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Yep. Also, let's be honest, the other problem being, hey, apparently, again, because of the virus, we had to take away all the soldiers. Okay, fine. So there's less soldiers. Only special forces with biological warfare training. Okay. So you're telling me special forces can't see this thing?
No, they're walking around with their eyes closed.
Or shoot it.
Their eyes are closed. What do you expect them?
I know, obviously. Good grief.
I also like how at the end, when the creature does show up to Agent Yellow,
there's one
it's
guy.
Just really convenient how it shows up.
It charges straight
like,
at it.
Yeah, it's just almost like they knew it was going to come there because you have this weird drone shooting out the Agent Yellow. And I'm thinking, so were they just going to put this over the river and start spewing smoke everywhere?
I mean, what could go wrong by polluting the river again?
Well, don't forget, they also had literally speedboats driving along the river, spraying, you know, basically trying to decontaminate everything.
Yeah, so it's just like, what are they doing here? I mean,
don't forget, your entire security for that Agent Yellow was one guy with a gun?
Yeah, I know.
It gets taken out by a family.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing is, I'm still stuck on the fact that it almost looks like they knew the creature was coming there. It's just one of those great coincidences that, okay, it's the only major, major coincidence that drives the plot, which still puts it light years ahead of Abrams Trek and Abrams Star Wars, but still, it sucks.
Well, also, you don't forget, you basically had Chekhov's, in this case, Chekhov's bow.
Yep.
It wasn't a gun this time, it was
definitely
a bow.
Definitely Chekhov's bow.
Yeah, it was literally...
But the cell phone was a Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
That's true.
It was everything all over the place was just constant, just because it moves the plot forward again.
The writer had finished creative writing 101 and really liked Chekhov's gun, so he made sure he put that one in there a lot in the first act.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. You could almost write a, this is what not to do when making a movie script off this movie.
And also, remember the scene where they're going to go in, where the uncle has decided to stop being a drunk louse and look for the little girl. And he has that buddy at the telecommunications company and he's trying to triangulate her phone. And the buddy is going to sell him out to a group of people who want to cash in on the bounty.
Yeah.
Because they escaped the hospital. The government's looking for them, bounty on their heads. All those people are going to try to catch him. So none of those people sat down to go, so how are we going to divide this?
Nope.
Because maybe it's just me. But if I thought I could get this guy on my own, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go, hey, Scott and Thomas, go invite five of your friends each. And let's all just get in a posse and go after this guy.
I figure we'll at least get a good 50 to 100 bucks.
Also, I'm going to ruin rips and picks, but I feel like that was more of an analogy again about how quickly society will turn on you, even if your intentions are good, if they can make money by doing it.
I guess.
Okay, I will rip on that scene for the simple fact that this guy suddenly goes, oh no, these guys are coming after me. I'm going to cause a blackout.
By overloading the local surge protector.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, no. Because
the local surge protector.
He puts a paperclip on it.
Yeah, guess what would happen? Okay, you just turned the surge protector off.
That reminds me.
Not you know everything else.
You know what that reminds me of? Screwdriver jammed in the door.
Yep.
Screwdriver jammed in the door will stop it from being open. Paperclip on an outlet. Jam into a surge protector will cause a blackout.
It's a good thing you knew that surge protector was really a surge amplifier.
Yeah. Wow.
Just like the brother.
Also, by the way, he was surrounded. He causes a blackout and somehow
managed to get on the outside.
You need to watch that scene with the Benny Hill music.
Well, yes. And give him Nightcrawler powers.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler Bamf powers. Because I can't imagine how else he did it.
I don't know. Because the movie needed it.
The plot needed it, whatever plot there is, because this is as basic of a plot as there is. Monster kidnaps girl, must rescue girl, overcome obstacles, kill monster. The only thing that isn't by the numbers is girl dies.
Yeah, in fact, convenient that Park still has the phone after he escapes the army hospital to get the phone call to let him know, hey, you should go over here.
He's in quarantine.
Oh, but he still has a phone.
He still has the phone. Yeah. Everything's been
call people.
Everything's been taking from
That's
him.
The first thing that happens is you get put in military quarantine. It's off the books.
We take your clothes. We take everything off you. We spray you down. Oh, but you know, this phone, you can keep that.
We want you to make a phone call while we're giving you an unanesthetized lobotomy.
Sheesh. Say hi to your mom for me.
Yeah. Wow. I forgot about that. You're right. Also, good. They were trying to, I think, also do a medical point, how bad medical care is or something, because literally they're in a hospital or whatever. He's supposed to be in quarantine, you know, because he got sprayed with blood or whatever. So they put him in a yellow bag. They take him to the hospital.
And they just drag him. It's like a body bag.
He's also then in the hospital later in the body bag, but not closed up. Like, they unzipped him out of the body bag. So he's sitting there going, hey, I'm supposed to be quarantined. Hey, I'm quarantined, guys. Hey, hello.
How about when he escapes, he just runs out of like the front door of a trailer and there's a bunch of people grilling with rubber grills outside?
Yes.
I'm gonna
We're just grilling, no problem. We're sitting in the middle of a possible disaster area, but we're just making hot dogs.
I'm gonna go ahead and guess that that's part of the comedy.
Either that or there was just a low location budget.
Yeah. We need a bunch of people.
And this dude's trailer had to double serve as the hospital.
Yeah. Wow. Oh.
And I gotta say, too, while we're on the subject, is it just me or is the pacing seemed a little sluggish at times? At times, forcing myself to pay attention.
It didn't need to be a two-hour movie.
2 hour film. Ugh.
Yeah. Wandering Earth kept my attention until the last 15 minutes when I got annoyed. This movie was, is there a reason we need to drag this part out?
Dude, I will be 100% honest. I had to watch this in two parts.
I completely believe that.
I started watching this when you first sent it to me. I'm like, okay. And then I literally, at one point, almost fell asleep. And I just went, nope, I gotta finish this at some other point, because I can't keep my eyes open at this point.
I get it. And you know what I'm trying to figure out, too, is how is it called The Host? I mean, is it because the people are...
It's because
hosts?
The whole point of that is the animal is the host for the virus.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They say that in the news story. That's what it's supposed to be.
Okay,
I kind of get that. I was going to say they could have possibly, because, again, our simpleton hero or whatever, at one point said, while itching himself, I feel like there's something in my skin crawling around.
Yeah.
It almost feels like, and again, might not. It was a dropped plot thread or something.
If there's no virus, what killed that special forces guy?
Right, because he did, go and...
He had these weird symptoms of a fever and a rash.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a 9mm to the head.
I'm sorry, you have to die for the propaganda. I'm a patsy. Yeah, you are, Lee Harvey.
That's an interesting point. If we go back to like a meaning. So they make that soldier, they depict him favorably.
Yeah.
Like he actually told the girl he was with, I got to go help people. People need help. They're in need. And he does like the noble thing.
Rescues people, saves people, does everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's almost like he's saying the soldiers are fine. It's that military organization.
The individual soldier is honorable. The organization as a whole, individuals are honorable. Society as a whole is not.
And I think that that's a interesting point to make because that's where he goes. The director says it'd be a stretch to call this anti-American. What did I just do?
I think deep meaning came back.
I want to hate you, movie. I want to hate you, movie. And I'm reevaluating as we discuss it.
Oh, wow. He's going to turn around and like this movie.
Somehow,
now,
this is going to be a 10 out of 10 suddenly after this. And he's going to be so
go that gaining, far. Only one thing.
Gaining points.
Nothing ever got to 10 except for Blade Runner 2049.
Okay, that was a perfect this movie might actually. Scott. Okay, how about this? It might actually break 5.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I'm starting to think as we discuss it more and I replay what's going on and I replay what's going on. I think the problem with this movie is the translation. I'm starting to think the major problem with this movie is the translation because I think there's some deep, good, on the nose commentary about the dangers of a big government, about the corruption of power, the corruption of money, and what society as a whole will do and how society will turn on the individual in that chase for wealth and power and privilege and how a government will turn on the individual in the chase for power and security.
Man, and you be
there's,
careful.
There's something really here and it's there throughout the entire movie.
Scott, be careful. You're starting to sound like small government republic.
Individuals are nothing. And it's not just individuals are nothing to a government. Individuals are nothing to society. We'll step on anybody. No one cares that there's a little girl alive in the sewers, allegedly.
Yeah.
They just don't. No one cares. He's gone crazy. No one. People are going about their life. This tragedy happened. The only people that care, like the media is there just being vultures at a funeral while people are
taking
grieving.
Pictures of the grieving.
Yeah.
The grieving is over the top to show it's hyperbolic to show the media over top. I watch this more and more. I don't know. I can't tell if this is bad or if it's lost in the translation and this is a smart film. I can't tell.
Maybe that's
because the translation is freaking horrible.
Maybe yes, that's why the translation is bad.
Gave it a good review because on its own merits, in the everything's we've ripped, it's a valid point.
Do we have anything that we want to do before we move into rating this film? Anything else on this we want to hit?
I want to say, I do want to give my favorite scene, and this is the part I saw with when the creature first shows up. Although I don't understand why someone got the idea to throw a can of beer in the river at it.
Hey, monster, have a beer! Bud, why that? Well, remember who threw the can of beer.
Oh, that's true.
We're talking about the dumb one, so...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, have a beer. This Bud's on me, duh. Anyway. I would say that scene, that's the one when I first saw this on a list of good movies to see, this is the scene it showed. Yeah. And the fact that the monster comes out, it starts running, and then everyone's at first deer in the headlights, and then they start run, 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 and then it goes pandemonium. That's kind of how that would go. That's how I picture it. Whole scene with the first appearance and people getting stuck and getting eaten, and that's a really well done scene. I thought after seeing it, wow, this is going to be a good flick. Because the part up until then with Park just being a goof, being a doofus, was kind of like, Okay, I guess they got to establish the character. And then that jumped in, and I thought, all right, here we go. And then after that, it slowed down.
It came to a screeching halt.
That was the best part. So, Sickies, if this review has deterred you from watching this movie, at least go on YouTube and watch that scene. Because that is a fun scene to watch. I think that's the only thing, you know.
Anything else to add, Thomas?
Sheer.
Wow, I'm just a little shocked that your rating is going up. I would say, I'm just going to say that I know this was a few years ago, but I don't think Hollywood has anything to fear right now.
That's what Scott said last week.
I agree wholeheartedly. What came out of the second highest grossing film in the history of Chinese film is really...
Well, I mean, this one's Korean.
It's on the level of Star Trek Axiar, which is a fan film.
Yeah, well,
made for Star Trek. Yeah. That was on the level of... I know we disagree, Mark. I looked at that, and all I could think for the whole thing, the cinematography, the CGI, the writing, everything in that, I thought, this is written by a highly talented amateur. It was edited, sound produced, filmed, CGI'd by a highly talented amateur or a very low-skilled professional. I don't think Hollywood has anything from a craft point to fear. Watching this movie this week, it's better overall from a production value in my mind than The Wandering Earth, but I still don't feel that the major Hollywood studios have anything to fear about the quality that's coming out of these rival film
industries. I saw something on YouTube this last week that shocked me.
What's that?
I'm trying to think. You know those robots that Boston Institute makes and shows the videos?
No.
Okay, like the walking dogs and, you know, robots picking up boxes and stuff.
Okay, okay.
And then pushing them around. Well, these guys literally took a map, you know, CGI'd that and made it completely. It looked almost 100% real.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that by themselves in a small their studio themselves. Mm-hmm. That's what they did.
Well, and that's my
That's
point.
Better than, you know, anything out there. And it's like, dude, this is on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, that's my
movie
point.
Studios are way Eve does better than that.
That's my point. We talked about this. At
China's miles, decades behind.
In the Welcome to Earth video, we talked about that. And I mentioned last week, too, that with technology being what it is today, a lot of people are going to be able to produce these kind of things on their own. And that's why, you know, should Hollywood be nervous? Well, if that kind of movie is going to start grossing a lot of money, yes. But it does tell me that this is what we can expect more and more of, because if at the end of the day, you could just go to, I don't know, India and find a kid in his apartment doing that kind of quality.
Yeah, but you can't. See, that's the thing. No. Take Thor Ragnarok and send it off to the studio that made The Wandering Earth or the studio that made this, and you can't get something that looks like that.
Okay,
Not even close.
That's a point. But I'm just saying, expect more of Wandering Earth type stuff, because that can be more possible now. Or like, you know, Welcome Home that we did. Expect more of that because it's easier now.
I'm not disagreeing with you 100%. My only point is there's a slight difference between like Chinese films.
Well, no, I agree. I think I'm not making my point. You're trying to say that Hollywood will still have a higher level. They won't always be able to revert to that. They'll have it, but it won't always be the case. Whereas other films are going to keep that level of quality, and that's why they won't be able to compete for the near future, at least.
Yeah, I don't think they're anywhere near competing. After watching The Wandering Earth, I really... If I see another film come out of a studio from Southeast Asia, I'm going to be skeptical of it, because the quality of The Wandering Earth, to me, was very, very poor. And I don't feel that it's... I got limited time to watch movies. I mean, it's... To me, it was a good amateur film or a bad professional film.
Okay.
That's the level I thought it was on.
Okay.
I don't think Hollywood has any competition coming. I think there's a reason The Wandering Earth made $9 million outside of China.
Well, I mean, it did barely crack advertising. It didn't get advertised at all, and it was barely in theaters here. But the question then becomes, and that's the main reason, of course, But then the question is, why is that?
Right. And when you can send Thor Ragnarok or Avengers Endgame off to the studio that made The Wandering Earth and come back with something that is on parallel production, then Hollywood has to worry. But right now, they could not come close to come up with a score, to come up with just the basic cinematography and direction that's coming out of the Hollywood at this point. Still.
Well, never
Hollywood is still decades ahead.
Well, never say never, because they're catching up fast.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. They might catch up, but not anytime soon.
Well, to me, next year, we're not going to see the big blockbuster out of China. No.
To me, The Wandering Earth looked like something that's on pace with late 1990s filmmaking.
Okay.
That's where I thought it was.
And The Host? Well, The Host looks like 2006.
The host looks right. The Host looks right for the time it was made.
Yeah. We can't nag and say the CGI sucks. Well, because for 2006, it looked great, I'm sure. Yeah.
For 2006, the only part of the CGI that's bad is when the monster's on fire.
Yes.
Yeah. That does not hold up. It didn't look good back then. But the rest of that CGI was really good for the time.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's get this thing rated. How many canisters of Agent Yellow do we want to give this?
Ooh,
out of 10. All right, I'll start.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't believe that I've made a 180 on this. Because
what was your initial?
My initial review on this was going to be a 3.
Ooh, okay. Higher than I thought it was going to be.
It picks up a plus one bonus for having the audacity to go off script and have the daughter die at the end. So you get a plus one bonus for that. I'm also going to give it a plus one bonus for what I think the real commentary of this movie was supposed to be being mixed into it. So when I originally reviewed it, I thought that it was just your typical below average monster movie, monster sci-fi movie. It was a Cloverfield monster movie, essentially. As we discussed it, I think I was always going to give it a plus one bonus for having the guts to go off script at the end and give you an ending that you don't see coming. And then I decided to give it another plus one bonus because my suspicion is that if this was translated better and acted better, you would get a 5. The reason it was originally a 3 is the voice acting is horrendous. I mean, there's video games from 2004 that have better voice acting. Okay, it is god-awful bad. We rounded up a bunch of people to come in and do voice acting. If you watch the dub that we watched, it's a 3. Because the bad voice acting takes you out of everything that's going on. I can't rate it any higher than a 5 because I don't know if what I think is in this movie is really there. So I'm going to call it an average sci-fi monster movie after giving it a couple bonus points.
Okay. Interesting. My rating would be 3.
Ooh.
I feel like I wasted 2 hours. There was some interesting aspects to it. There was some stuff in it that was like, okay, that's kind of cool, but I'm sorry, the pacing killed it for me. There were points where I fell asleep basically at one point. I'm watching a movie, this rarely happens. I fall asleep doing movies. I don't. And at this one, I was just passing out. This could not keep me going. There were points in it where it was like, that's cool. That's cool. Interesting concept. But overall, no. Not. Just 2 hours, way too long. Shorten it up, maybe. And again, it might be something was lost in translation. It might be better if it was translated better. But being it wasn't, I have to rate it on what it was, and it's a 3 out of 10.
All right. I guess I have to go with Scott on this one and give it a 5. I would say 6, but no. 4.5 or 5. It's not as outlandish. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's not as outlandish as The Wandering Earth. And it still has that cool scene where the monster first shows up.
Well, this movie has a plot.
And there's meaning behind it. The director did have, I mean, all creators have a meaning behind it. They can't hide it. But this one was a little bit more overt. He wasn't trying to hide it. And it's good meaning. I get it. So I can appreciate that, and that pumps it up. So if that, I feel, makes it better than The Wandering Earth, I can't give it a 4, which is what I gave the last movie, but I can minimize that by 1 point because it's still not better than, I mean, it's better than The Wandering Earth, but as you said, Thomas, the problems are the pacing is just too slow. Maybe we just saw a bad dub and the acting is strange. And again, maybe it's really cool for Koreans, but it doesn't land for me.
All right. That's our thoughts on The Host. If you want to spend a couple hours watching a movie that you may hate at first, and as you think about it, come to like slightly more, or as Thomas said, not any more at all, go ahead and watch it and send us your thoughts. You can leave it on our website at ravinglunaticmedia.com. You can tweet at us at our non-active Twitter account at Sci-Fi Melody, or you can email us at contact@ravinglunaticmedia.com. That's it for this week. What's left to do, Rage Master?
Stay sick, sickers.